Coming up next, five things that you say at work that are making you sound stupid. And then burned out couples are causing concerns for companies. What do they need to do? Plus, we take your calls. It all starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work so you can win at life. Thrilled to have you here. More money, more income, more meaning is the goal here for you. And to that end, many times we're going to give you some content like five things you say at work that make you sound stupid so that you can grow. You know, I mean, like, let me give it to you this way. If you don't know yourself, you can't grow yourself. How about that? How about a little nugget right there? You can just write that down. If you don't know yourself, you can't grow yourself. And so I want to make you aware of some things. We did some research on this, you know, some popular, and I say some of these too. And, here's the question for everybody. As you listen and watch, and if anybody in the control room wants to speak up, you just raise your hand and you can blurt out. Is it the phrases themselves, meaning that you say it once and you're immediately stupid sounding, or is it the rate of which you use them? This is, I'll get to this. This is a fun little, there's your question, and we'll circle back. You ready? Here we go. I got the sheet in my hands. All right. CNBC recently interviewed managers, recruiters, employees about the words and phrases they think should be fired in 2022. Phrases expunged from the record. So, are you harming yourself and coworkers by using all these? Here we go. number one, synergy. Hey, we're creating some real synergy here. Hey, let's be looking for some opportunities for some synergy. Let's see if there are multiple synergies we can work on here. You know what I'm talking about? Synergy. Now, I'm gonna just be personal on these. I can't remember the last time I used the word synergy. Alex and I meet all the time. You correct me if I'm wrong. If my memory makes me a liar, I want you to call me out. But I can't remember the last time I used the word synergy at work or in a meeting. This one I've used some, which led to me asking the question, is it the usage that makes you sound stupid, or is it the rate of the usage? Continue to ponder as you watch and listen. Let's circle back on that. Oh, gosh. Can I just tell you, folks, from my view, as I said that, and I look right here, Amanda is directly over this camera, associate producer, call screener, and she literally rolled her eyes so hard, I'm not sure they're going to come back to their normal position. You hate the circle back, apparently. Okay.
Yes, I do.
I need to make a mental note.
It's all the time people use it.
People are using it too much. Okay. Next, do you have the bandwidth? Do you have the bandwidth? What's your bandwidth on this? Now, I'm going to tell you, I use bandwidth. Nathan says he does. So I don't know if I use it a lot. So far, as I self-score, I don't use this a lot. Now, I'm going to get to the whole stupid thing in a second, but I wanted to quickly run through these, let everybody kind of go in there. Okay, how often do I say bandwidth? All right, this is one. Number four, low-hanging fruit. Oh, man, I wish you could see it. We need an Amanda cam today. She's like, oh, this is what I saw all over her face. Low-hanging fruit. Now, I have a fun exercise for everybody. Little surprise coming. Wait for it. I'm going to put all of these into a sentence as we wrap the segment. Everybody wait for it. I'm going to put myself on the spot. I've not pre-written it. All right. Number five. Teamwork makes the dream work. Now, this one irritates me. Because the only time I say this is when I'm being cheesy. I mean, it's like an intentional, hey. You know what I mean? Like if we're wrapping up a meeting and Joe goes, hey, everybody, good job. And I go, yep, teamwork makes your dream work. I'm not saying it for real. I'm being cheesy on purpose. Teamwork makes the dream work. Please. All right. So now let's get into these. All right. Of the five, which by the way, I've got a bonus one, but we'll get to that. Of the five, The one that I think you makes you sound as stupid as possible is if you're really saying teamwork makes the dream work. If you're saying that for real, I mean, I will allow the usage if you're being silly. And everybody kind of goes, yeah, it's kind of a fun way to wrap the meeting. But if you're really saying that, you sound like a complete idiot. That one's high on the list for me. High stupid factor. The low-hanging fruit is pretty stupid, if you think about it. Okay? Do we even need to address the low-hanging fruit? See, that this is the issue. So I grew up going to my grandpa's home / farm near the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And he had apple trees everywhere. And it was really fun when we'd get to his house, we'd say hi to grandpa, and then he would immediately take us on a tractor ride, and we'd go out and we would see the apple trees. And these were the Granny Smith apples, by the way. And we would immediately grab the apples we could reach. That's the low-hanging fruit. But that's not what we were focused on. We were always like, hey, can we climb up in the tree and grab as many apples as possible? So can we just all acknowledge that we don't need to talk about low-hanging fruit? Not only do we not need to talk about it, we don't need to use the phrase. All right, now, next on the list, circle back. Do we need to say things like that? The phrase, hey, let's circle back, or we probably need to circle back. Nobody talks that way. In real life, we go, I got to go back and pick up my hat. I left it on the table. Nobody says, hey, I got to circle back. Like if I say to my kids and wife at the mall or something, hey guys, we got to circle back to that store. They're going to look at me like I'm an alien. So nobody talks that way. Here's the point. You trying to use jargon or being lazy and picking up this work jargon, it does irritate people. It really does. I mean, CNBC actually interviewed managers and recruiters about these words that are irritating, and they come across as lazy and fake. I mean, we're having fun. We're having fun with this segment. All right, so I'm going to try to put a sentence together on all five really quick, okay? All right, let's see here. If you don't mind, can we get something on the calendar? If you've got the bandwidth, I think we need to circle back and identify some low-hanging fruit where we can create some synergy. Teamwork makes the dream work. Good job. I just did it. And Amanda is breaking out in hives. We're going to have to take a quick break and get her some Benadryl. Hey, when we come back, the one that I think is worse than all of those put together, I'm so sick of this phrase. It's driving me absolutely bananas. We'll see. Do you have a strong opinion on it or not? Do you have a strong opinion? So that's when we get back. Don't move. Is that right? Oh, we still have 30 seconds. I'm sorry. I'm not reading the clock right, folks. I'm so excited about this phrase. Now, let me tell you something about this phrase. I don't know if it makes you sound stupid, but I will tell you this. I want to punch people when I hear this. It's a bad emotion. Let's just see. If you have the same emotion, we'll get to that. Plus, our In the News, you don't want to miss this. Burned out couples. Dual working couples and the burnout. We'll talk about it all. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win at work and in life. Okay, so carrying this over, we started off the show, five things you say at work to make you sound stupid. The five we gave you came from a CNBC report where they interviewed managers, recruiters, employees about words and phrases that everybody's sick of. And so, quick review, we are creating synergy. Let's circle back. Do you have the bandwidth? This is low-hanging fruit, and teamwork makes the dream work. But here's the one that I am up to my hairline, which is receding. So this is pretty high. All right. I'm up to my hairline on this one. And this is it. This is the new normal. And by the way, it's usually said like that. Yeah, it's the new normal. New normal. Like, and let me tell you why my emotion is so high and I want to punch people right in the Adam's apple generally guys, because guys have Adam's apples. I'm not going to punch a woman. I'm not going to punch anybody. It's a very violent thing to say. But I got to tell you, it irritates me to no end. It really does. And here's why. First of all, it's said too much, A. B, it's usually a phrase used with resignation, right? Like, well, I have to do something that is patently absurd, but it's the new normal. That's essentially what it is, right? You just fill in the blank for patently absurd. Well, I'm going to do this. No common sense, stupid, but hey, it's the new normal. Like my all-time favorite was, and this is going to hack some people off, but it makes for a great show. Got to wear your mask until you get to the table. And then when you sit down at the table, you take the mask off. Yeah, it's the new normal. You see what I'm saying? It's patently absurd. No matter your position on COVID at all, everybody has to acknowledge, right, that they were asking you to wear it in the lobby of the restaurant, not at the table, as if COVID only hangs out in the lobby. Come on, everybody gets that. Lighten up, everybody. That's not an anti-vax, pro-vax. I'm not pro-COVID, anti-COVID. Everybody relax. We have to admit that's a little silly. But you know what we would say to that? Yeah, it's an abnormal. My boss taught me that I got to go run out in the middle of the interstate for 3 minutes. Try to dodge traffic. Oh, it's the new normal. It's like, no matter how absurd something is, if we end it with, this is the new normal, then we're just supposed to be compliant. That's why I hate the phrase. So there you go. All right. So what's going on with the double income couples? Now, prior to these couples having kids, they're called double income, no kids, called dinks. It's an actual phrase. My wife and I were that. Boy, oh boy, was that good. I mean, we were bringing in the money. We didn't have to go home and change diapers. We got to sleep. It was all exciting. We love our kids. But what about these dual income couples that have kids? What's going on in today's world? How's it affecting them? What can leaders do? Well, the answer is burnout's high. Let's break it down in the news. Okay, so first article here, as I said, is about these dual career couples is what they're calling them, DCC. Okay, dual career couples, DCC, that's what we'll call them. And burnout, what's going on? McKinsey and Company released a new report just a week or so ago. And as with, you know, a lot of things, the pandemic has exacerbated burnout among dual career couples, especially for the partner who's shouldering most of the household work themselves. So you might have a situation here in this scenario where one of the partners is in the office, the other partner's working from home, but the kids are there, so they're kind of balancing all that, or they're the primary picker-upper, if you will, daycare, all those things. These couples, dual career couples, continue to be an increasing portion of the U.S. workforce. Listen to these numbers. 81% of women and 63% of men are in such couples. It's a pretty staggering number. 81% of men, their wives or partners or girlfriends, whatever the situation is, they're working as well. 81% of women, and then 63% of men. So a lot of women are working. That's what it boils down to in outside of the home. 65,000 employees from 88 companies were in the survey. I always like to share with you these numbers. The name of the survey, if you'd like to look it up and dive in more, is the Women in the Workplace Employee Experience Survey. So this is focused on women in the workplace. And I'm glad this survey is done, because here's what did happen. The pandemic did do. It really crushed a lot of professional women's progress. When they went home because of kids not being in school, it set back a lot of professional women who worked very, very hard to get where they were. All right, so a couple more key findings. 46% of women in a dual career couple felt burned out, 39% for dudes. 29% of people in a dual career couple situation have considered taking a job at a different company with a different work culture. The reason that number is significant and I call it out is because culture. You could have a person in their sweet spot doing work that they're really good at, that they love, and is producing results that matter to them. But if you aren't surrounding them by a healthy culture, they will look to leave. They just will. What are some takeaways? This is my takeaway. I read this. I think there's three takeaways for businesses, business leaders. Listen up. You better communicate. You better be in really close communication. In touch is the phrase I would use with dual career couples. If you got two of them working for you, or one of them is working for you and the other spouse or partner is working for somebody else, but they're in a dual career, you better be in touch with your portion, your employee who's in that dual career couple. You better be communicating. You better know what's going on. What are their needs? What are their stressors? If they are stressing out at home, they are bringing that to the office. It is affecting them and thus affecting your team and your company. Come on, leaders. Be in touch. Two, don't just be in touch and communicate. Come up with active strategies to care for them. What can the company do, if anything? You better figure it out. How can you care for that situation? And then, what are you doing, leader, to model some balance? Here's what I mean by that. Be a leader who, if your kid gets sick at school, you don't put it on your partner to do it all. You go pick them up. You show up at some of the important school meetings. Hey, I got to prioritize this. This is my kid. Show them some balance. Show them that you have no problem putting family ahead of work. That single-handedly might do more than you could possibly ever put into place with some type of a care policy. Just let them be free. Let them have trust that if they take care of business at home, you want that to be the case. That is a priority. That's huge. All right, next story. You're hearing a lot about the metaverse, right? Oh, my gosh. I tried to watch Spider-Man. My kids were explaining to me all these three different universes of time. Metaverse is like this virtual reality world. Well, it's becoming big business. A recent report by JP Morgan Chase. They're getting into the business of this. What does it mean? So the metaverse is going to have all kinds of ways for consumers to shop, live, purchase. So you got your little, so picture a little teeny tiny Ken, cartoon Ken. And I got my goggles on, my virtual reality. I'm in this world. Well, when I go do my banking, let's say I was at JP Morgan Chase, I'm not. They're going to create games and stuff for their customers. And then they're going to get you in there buying stuff from them while you're playing. That's what this is. It's no different than, you know, my kids, like 7 years ago, you'd be in a little game, right? And you're playing something. And all of a sudden you see a little ad pop up and I took it off my kids' phones. They can't buy in-app purchases. But that's what this is. That's where the metaverse is going. And they're creating their own games for their customers to come in and buy stuff. Folks, keep your hand on your wallet when you're in those virtual reality games. That's what I'm telling you. Don't move. Your call's coming up. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled that you are with us as we help you win with your money and help you get more meaning in your work. See, I want you to increase your income and your impact. You can't separate your work from your life and your money. They're all tied together. That's what we do at Ramsey Solutions. We want to give you hope and help. One of the ways we do that is by endorsing folks like ZipRecruiter, number one job site in the country. Helping people the easy way. And I don't know if you've seen their TV commercials. I have. And they're fabulous. Talking about this guy, Phil. Oh, boy. There's Phil this, Phil that. And, you know, you need to see Phil. But more importantly, at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken, it's a click of a button. They've made it so easy. You can unlock your car, watch a movie, call your best friend, even pay your bills. And now, with one click, you can find a job that takes you from paycheck to purpose. That's why I wrote my entire book. Visit my friends at ZipRecruiter. Sign up for free today. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. All right, don't forget, coming up for our list of viewing audience only, top 20 most popular future jobs. Get into some of these. Boy, do I have an opinion on two or three of these. Yikes. I hope this doesn't turn out to be a job, but we'll see. I'm preparing you people for the future. Why? Because I'm a man of the people. Let's go to Nicole, who joins us now on the line in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Nicole, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So I recently applied for a job that is going to be a promotion within the hospital that I'm currently working in. And now that I've applied for it and the interview is on the calendar, I'm having second thoughts. And it would be a significant bump in pay, all of that good stuff. I've definitely earned it and I'm qualified and I feel very confident that I have a very good chance at it, but I feel myself talking myself out of it because when I look at the other supervisors that are in similar positions, they're miserable, they're overworked, they're working like 70, 80 hours a week.
Whoa.
It's crazy because we're very short-staffed. And I have a feeling that if I come in as a supervisor, if I take this promotion, that I may be instantly regretting it. And even though it's something that I've been working towards for a really long time, I'm not sure if it's the right move, and I'm not sure what questions I should ask in an interview in order to figure out if it's the right job for me.
Where are you getting this anecdotal evidence of everybody or several people that are in the position that you're interviewing for are just absolutely slammed on the verge, if not in full-blown burnout? Where are you getting that information?
Well, I currently work there, and I've worked.
Oh, you're already in the building. This is a different
move. I'm in the building. So it would be kind of from like a mid-management position to a full-blown management position.
Have you
position.
Sat with any of those ladies and gentlemen and asked them why it's so stinking intense?
It's because we're very short-staffed at this moment.
You did mention that. All right. Did you ask?
Having to cover midnight.
Is that a short-term situation that they're trying to remedy?
I hope so. We're definitely got some new people coming in, but the training process is a long time. And I would hope that, you know, in a perfect world, if we got to, you know, even adequate staffing, it would be a job that would be no weekends, no holidays.
Well, no, you know, what I'm saying is you can't hope for this, Nicole. I'm saying since you're in the building, sounds like they are trying to hire. They are trying to staff up.
They're trying. It's just a slow process because it is a government job with the VA.
How long? Anybody got an educated guess on how long before they would be staffed up? Like, is it 5 more people? Is it 6 more people? Is it 12? I mean, here's what I'm telling you. These are the questions.
5 to 7, I would say.
These are the questions you got to ask. The questions I'm asking you, you got to ask. Although I think I know the answer. They don't know. Right. I don't think they know how long it's going to take to get 5 to 7 more people. Am I right?
Probably, yeah.
Well, but see, now you're forced to go, well, that could be 6 months, it could be 12 months, it could be 18 months, it could be 24 months. And so armed with that information, are you willing to be like those people, frazzled out and burned out that quickly, not knowing when the end is in sight, even though you've worked for it?
Right, and that's the question because...
No, what's the answer?
Yeah, well, I don't think I want to because I feel like if I go ahead and mimic what they're doing, because I'd be forced to, because that would be my technical job to step up to the plate and cover all these empty shifts and all this stuff, that my life outside of work will suffer big time. And that's the part of life that I really want to nurture. And I don't want to work my life away and then look back and regret working myself to
death.
There
you go. All right. What kind of a bump is it? How much financially?
I'd be going from 83 a year to a little over 100,000 a year.
Okay, so let's call it 17, 18 grand?
Starting.
All right, so let's play this out for you. 17 to 18, I know it's starting, but 17 to 18 grand bump, but that's gross. That's not actually, so once you take your taxes out of that and you play that out over a year, it's not a whole lot more money, and it ain't enough money to justify wrecking your personal life. By the way, there is no amount of money that's worth wrecking your personal life. So my answer is don't do it. I'm glad you called me. You asked me what I think. I think that your head and heart are in alignment. Your head is scared. It's recognizing the red flags, and your heart's a verifying.
Yeah.
And here's the encouraging part, because I want to make sure you're encouraged before we finish this call.
Okay.
You have validated, you have verified what it is you want to do and why. You're just going to have to figure out a better place to do it. But you are not passing up on your dream. This is not a dream. This is a nightmare trying to impersonate a dream.
It's a good way of putting it.
Well, so my point is you got to be willing to say no to a good bump in pay so that you can say yes to the best path. So we got to find another pathway. And I think in the private, you got to start looking. Private sector, you know the work you want to do. You know why you want to do it. You need to look for a better location. This environment's not right. Now, let me just say this. If they get their act together, which I don't, and I don't want this to sound, I had somebody in the chat room recently say, why do you hate government jobs? I don't. I hate bureaucracy.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's a slow-moving, inefficient nightmare.
That's okay, great. Did everybody hear Nicole say that? Because Nicole actually works for the government. I don't hate government jobs. I hate bureaucracy. And the reason I hate bureaucracy is because of what Nicole just said. It's not leadership. Yeah. And here's my point, Nicole. I don't think it's going to get any better.
No, I've worked for the government for 8 years now, and it's always been like that. And
don't you dare trade your life. Don't you dare trade your quality of life for $18,000. Don't trade it for $180,000. Let me freak some people out. Don't trade your personal life for $1.8 million. Do I need to keep making the point here?
No, you're right. You're right.
Life is too short. If the pandemic taught us anything, it taught us that life is precious. And I'm telling you, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. The paycheck is a great high. It's a jolt to our ego. It feels great. It is practical in that we can use more money to do good things for ourselves, our family, our friends and neighbors, whatever. It's all good. But it wears off. That initial high and that initial impact pales in comparison to being healthy relationally. I'm just telling you, if your work, your supposed dream job is harming your relationships, it's not your dream job. It's a nightmare trying to masquerade around as a dream job. And I'm telling you, you can find that work, that meaningful work somewhere else, but you've got to look for it. I don't know how quickly it's going to go for you, Nicole, or anybody else in Nicole's shoes, but it is worth it. Say no. Hard pass. Hard pass. I'm choosing my life. Choosing my family. I can find purpose elsewhere in my work. This is the Ken Coleman Show. More of your calls coming up. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. We're helping you escape the hamster wheel. I want you doing work that you're really good at, that you really enjoy, so that you can maximize that income and see tremendous impact of your work. That's the missional part, creating results that matter to you. 844-747-2577 is the number, 844-747-2577. Panama City, Florida is where Joe joins us. Joe, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Great to be on. Thank you for building a better America.
Oh, my goodness. I'm trying, man. I'm trying. One show at a time, baby. Appreciate your vote in November. How can I help today, Joe?
Absolutely. So I'm a 22-year-old military officer. I have a passion for leading and serving others, and I believe my calling is to become a politician. However, I'm currently feeling a little bit trapped.
Okay. Why do you feel trapped, and where are you trapped?
So my service commitment in the military is 4 years, and I'm just not getting that satisfaction I want because I feel like I can have more of a direct impact on other people's lives. I'm just not getting that right now.
Hal, first of all, thank you for your service. You're a great American. We appreciate you. How long have you been in the 4 years? How far into it are you?
Well, thank you for your support, and I'm 7 months into the 4 years.
Oh, boy. So what did you think it was going to be like? That, and again, I'm not knocking you, but I'm just curious, what did you expect, and then what's not happening?
So, Ken, I love this country, I got to admit, but it was a great opportunity for me to get college paid for, and I just think it was a great opportunity for me at the time to get out of the place where I was at.
Well, good. So it got you there.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Can you walk away right now? You can't, can you?
No.
Yeah, so, bro, okay. So, okay. First, you're not trapped. You, my friend, are on a journey, and you are... You are in the first leg of a very worthwhile journey. You need to change your narrative. You need to stop telling yourself that you're trapped. What you need to tell yourself is, I am serving my country and I love my country. I'm a patriot. I want to serve my company in politics down the line. And being a former member of the military is a fabulous resume line. So let's start with that, Joe. You are doing something that is going to help you in the future. Second thing, you can get great experience in the military and get some really good skills training that's transferable. That's the second thing you need to be telling yourself. Third, it's going to pay for, or it has already paid for, your education.
Absolutely.
You're not trapped. You're impatient. Welcome to
100%.
The club. Welcome to the club. I don't say that with any judgment whatsoever. I don't say that like, Joe, you're not trapped. You're impatient. What's wrong with you? No. Welcome to the human race.
Sure.
We want progress and we want it now. You want to get out there and be doing a different kind of service. But the problem is, A, you already made a commitment to serve in the military. So you better do your darndest to serve our country and the people you get to serve from the military with everything you got.
I absolutely am, Ken.
I know you are. But my point is finish your commitment. Now, the good news is you're 7 months in, so you've got a little bit of time to be planning your exit strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So you ought to be spending a lot of your time and energy focused on exit strategy, which will get you out there into the real world, maybe directly into politics, working as a staffer for, you know, a state politician or a federal level politician. I don't know. Maybe you work on political campaigns. Maybe you work in the actual government itself, but you need to chart your course. But you're not trapped. You're just getting started.
That is great advice. I've been told, Ken, that I'm impatient, and I've been told I'm trying to rush this whole process.
You are, but it's because you have a big dream in your heart. That's good. Slow down, young grasshopper. Just chill, man. There's nowhere to go. You got 3.5 years left. Focus on that. Focus on the 3.5 years and what you can do. I just gave you your homework assignment. I told you what your narrative change is, so go do that. Hey, for our viewing audience, hang out. Oh, never mind. One more segment. I know. Relax. I'm getting ahead of myself. Don't move. More of your calls coming up. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, helping you win by giving you hope that there is, in fact, work that you can really, really be good at, really love, and it brings you the income that you want and allows you to make a great, unique contribution, impact. That's what we're about. Life's too short to just work for the weekend. Let's go, let's go, let's go. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Reno, Nevada. John is on the line. John, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So I just turned in my 3-week notice from kind of a really difficult work situation, and I'm not sure how to handle the next 3 weeks. It's become a real mess, and I feel like there's no way for me to end well, but I want to leave with as much grace and honor as possible.
What caused the mess?
Well, it's been a really difficult workplace, and just I haven't been able to keep up. I haven't been able to fulfill all the goals and responsibilities that the company has for me.
Was that going on before you put your resignation in?
Yeah, it's been going on for over 6-8 months or so.
Which is why you resigned.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons, but that's definitely a big one.
That's one of them.
I'm just not able to keep up. It's been really tearing my life and my family apart.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, John, but I will say I'm glad you didn't stay in that victim situation and you decided to get out.
Yeah.
So, again, you called me, and the way you set the question up is like, how do I finish out my next few weeks? You got, how much left do you have?
3 weeks. 3 weeks.
I mean, it sounds like it's been a dumpster fire the entire time you've been there.
Yeah.
So what specifically, because the way I tell people is finish well, but it doesn't, how do you finish well when you've not, and I'm not taking a shot at you, but we've not worked well. Doesn't sound like it's,
right.
Like, I don't even know how we finish well when it's a 4-alarm fire.
Yeah. Same here, you know, there's no way for me to do everything I need to do to wrap things up, you know, to make a clean transition, to hand it off well.
So here's the only analogy I've got for you, and I don't know if this is going to help you, but imagine your house is on fire. There's no saving the house. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you take? When you can't take everything, what do you take? And that's all I've got for you. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Meaning, if my house is on fire and I know that I've got 2 minutes to get whatever I can get, I'm not going to grab the stapler on my wife's desk.
Right.
you know, I'm going to, there it becomes, and by the way, I also don't sit out there on the front lawn pondering for 30 seconds what I'm going to grab. I know.
Okay.
Don't you instinctively know what you're going to grab?
Yeah.
Your mind's made up pretty quick about what we're grabbing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what you can do here. I know that doesn't sound super neat, but I'm assuming that's what you called to ask me. Listen, relationally is one thing. So let me give you, one of the items, finish well relationally. To the best of your ability, finish well relationally. Coworkers, if you got any good relationship with coworkers, keep them good. Does that make sense? I think relational is one thing. And then I think the priorities, the biggest priorities. Try to get done the biggest priorities. And then the third thing is what could you do for the person that's going to replace you that might reflect positively on you? Some transitionary instructions. I don't know. That would be the first three things to finish well for me. That's what I've come up with.
Okay.
Does that help?
No, that makes sense. And then the only other thing is, how do I handle those conversations when I'm focusing on these priorities and my bosses are not, you know, on board with that? How do I handle those conversations with them?
So you're saying you've identified some priorities, but your current bosses think there's other priorities.
Yeah, that's just been how it's gone.
Do what they said. They're your leaders. Whether you agree with them or not, you're out the door. So we want them to not, we were hoping that we don't burn a bridge. So at this point, if they go, these are the priorities, and I go, I don't think it's the priorities, and they go, that's the priorities, and I'm going to go, okay, man. Do what they said.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, listen, it's not your problem anymore.
Right.
No, I'm saying if you're currently do what they said.
Yeah.
It's not your fault they're nincompoops if that's the situation. By the way,
yeah,
such a good word. Dusted that one off. I mean, is that what's going on, John? Are they just are they a train wreck?
You know, a lot of really well-meaning people, but very poorly organized system and lack of interest in changing that, it seems. So,
yeah, so why in the world would you, in your final 3 weeks, swim upstream? Sounds like you've been trying to swim upstream the entire time.
I have, yeah.
Were they angry when you resigned?
Oh, no. No, not at all.
Were they happy?
No. But it's a very strange situation because, you know, I recognize how badly this is impacting me in my life and the staff and whatnot, but that recognition isn't there all around. And so, I've had to make this decision just for me and for myself, really.
Are they aware of all this that's going on with you?
Not fully. No.
Okay. So they're blissfully unaware. They think everything's great and it's a dumpster fire.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've definitely not kept quiet about the problems, but I've not, you know, put my personal issues out there.
Do you have a job?
Problem.
You have a job you're going to?
No, actually, I do have a remote option for like as needed remote work, but we have our emergency fund and we saved up a bit. So I've just got to go and
yeah. Well, I'm glad I wanted to talk about the future. Please don't use that emergency fund if you don't have to. I don't care if you got to, I don't care if you got to stink and deliver food. Don't use your emergency food in the hottest job economy we've ever seen. Please.
Yeah.
Emergency funds are when your car, you know, drops a transmission. Don't use it for taking a couple of days off work. Now, let me also say the giant asterisk to that advice is if you've truly got some serious mental health stuff that's causing physical stuff, maybe you take a few weeks or whatever your doctor says. I don't want to minimize that. But physically, if you can, just getting out of that place is probably going to be a big help. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, then let's go see if we can get it. So the next 3 weeks, here's what you do. Exactly what they tell you to do. Be a good guy. Do what they want. Stop stressing out about it. And you're searching for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a transition job. Or it's two or three part-time jobs that allow you to just be healing. And, you know, well, I can drive around and listen to my favorite music or podcasts. I can get healthy, still bring in income. Don't touch my emergency fund. And then transition myself. Does that make sense? Let you heal. But
that'd be awesome.
Well, go do that then. Go do some job that has nothing to do with the future, but it allows you to just do some mindless work and get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But don't touch that emergency fund if you don't have to. All right?
Yeah.
And John, you don't have to. It's just too good of a job economy. It's just too good. So go get something, get after it, get hustling. Take care of your family. Take care of yourself. Folks, I don't know if this makes me a traditionalist or an old fuddy-duddy. If it does, I don't care. But even in a situation like John's got here, which is just clearly mismanagement, doesn't sound like they're bad people. It sounds like they're bad leaders. And he's fried. He's fried. I still wouldn't blow the bridge up. I just wouldn't. It never serves anything. And he's hurting. It doesn't sound like, you know, it was malicious, but he's fried. He's hurt. And, you know, going out with let's wire the bridge and completely detonate it as I roll off and say, I'm out of here. I don't want you to do that. It's not necessary. Put your time in. Relational, maybe some transitional stuff to help make you look sharp and like a classy individual. Hey, to our viewing audience, hang on, another segment coming. To our listening audience, thank you for joining us. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. As you know, at Ramsey, we're always looking to protect our listeners from scummy companies, slick marketing, and money myths. I'm George Camel, host of The Fine Print, where I do the research for you to help you rise above the system that's designed to keep you broke and in debt so that you can become confident in your money choices. Check out The Fine Print wherever you listen to podcasts.